You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 as we continue in our series, Home Improvement, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for the gift of marriage and the plan that You have, Lord, for marriage and family relationships. I pray, Lord, this morning that You would speak especially, Lord, to singles, what You're calling them to do, Lord, in order to prepare for marriage someday. Also, Lord, principles here, that You would speak to the hearts of us who are married, be able to apply those too. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your Word. Teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. From the personal ads, the Knoxville News Sentinel, Knoxville, Tennessee. Single white male, age 52, never married. Smoker, chewer, drinker, but only to excess when I'm hunting. I like to hunt and fish. Squirrels, pheasants, coon, deer, trout, catfish, carp, and bass. Looking for a woman age 25 to 50 who can cook, hunt, trap, skin, and clean fish. Must have boat. Please send picture of boat. Now, folks, I don't know if that guy is looking for a wife or a salesman from Gander Mountain. Preparing for marriage, we can either do what the world tells us to do and focus on us and what we want and ruin our marriages, or we can do what the Bible tells us to do and focus on God and what He wants for us and set ourselves up for a lifetime of blessing. Well, what do you look for in a spouse? And how do you find them? And most importantly, what do we need to do ahead of time to prepare ourselves for marriage? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Home Improvement, looking at all kinds of ways that we can improve and strengthen and protect and defend the marriages and families that God has given us. Last time we saw that in order to improve our homes and families, we need to fight off all the enemies that are trying to destroy them. And today we see that in order to improve our homes and families, we need to dedicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ before those marriages and families even start. And to see that, we turn today to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapters 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul tells us about all the mercies and blessings that God has given us. Then our text today starts with, therefore, what we need to do in response to all those mercies and blessings. We need to dedicate ourselves, every single part of ourselves, to living for God. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that is exactly the same thing that we need to do in order to get ready for marriage. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, tells us three things that we need to do to prepare for marriage like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to prepare for marriage, we need to dedicate our body. Verse 1, offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. Because Jesus Christ offered His body for us, we need to offer our body to Him. And that word offer in the Greek literally means to make a sacrifice. So we climb up on the altar and offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Dead to sin and alive to God, holy and pleasing to Him. So you're a Christian, you not only give Jesus your heart, you also give Him your body and all that you do with it. Which means no sex outside of marriage. And I'll wait a second here while everybody stops rolling their eyeballs up in their head. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, God told Adam and Eve to become one flesh after they got married. Which means sex is for marriage only. So no sex outside of marriage, no sex before marriage, no exceptions. So if a guy and a girl are having sex, they're either married or they're sinning. Period. Something the Bible calls fornication, which literally means wrong sexual intercourse. And I don't care if it is 2019, it's still a sin. Well, Kevin, my body, my choice. No, it's not your body. Because Jesus bought your body for His own with the blood He shed on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. So flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And quit acting like pagans and use your body to respect and honor the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5. That's God's word for all of us. Dedicate your body to God. You want to have sex? Get married. 2 years ago, Justin Bieber and his girlfriend, Haley Baldwin, started to get serious about their faith. And they realized that the Lord was bringing them together. And because they wanted to have sex and didn't want to sin, they got married by a judge at a courthouse in New York City last September the 30th, 2018. Then they did a formal wedding with a preacher just this past September the 30th, 2019. Because a courthouse wedding is a real wedding in the eyes of God. And I've married all kinds of couples who've done exactly the same thing. They dedicated their body to God and they got married first. And why is sex only for marriage? Last month, University of Utah researchers found that Americans who have only ever had sex with their spouses are far happier and far more satisfied than Americans who have had multiple sex partners. Gee, something else God already knew. Sue and I were both virgins when we got married. So there were no ghosts, no guilt, no comparisons. And because of that, Sue and I are the best sex partners that each one of us has ever had. See how that works? See what a blessing it is? To dedicate your body and to prepare for marriage, no shacking up. Because contrary to popular opinion, living together does not prepare you for marriage. What it does prepare you for is divorce. The average shack up only lasts about 18 months. Less than 30% of couples who live together ever do go on to get married. And those who do get married have a divorce rate 33 times higher than couples who don't live together. So the only question is the divorce going to happen before or after the wedding? And I know why people do it. To share expenses. And for the sake of convenience, so you don't have to keep going back to your own place every night. And the sex is more available. But it's still wrong. And why? Because God loves you and wants to protect you. And not only your body, but also your heart and your emotions. And because God thinks you're worth a marriage commitment. And I do too. But see, when you shack up, there is none. There's no wedding ceremony. There's no vows. There's no pledges. Your partner is usually somebody you would have never married if you really thought about it. And because they are not formally committed to you, they're 4 times more likely to cheat on you and abuse you. Do we see what the problem is with living together? And I know somebody's hearing this, you're saying, well, Kevin, my boyfriend says there's no difference between living together and being married. Your boyfriend knows there's a difference. That's why he's not marrying you. So when something better comes along or something he thinks looks hotter, he can walk away from you. No strings attached whatsoever. Living together is wrong because for the girl, she thinks it's a step toward marriage. Most guys, though, think that living together is a way to postpone marriage and to put it off. Dear Abby, Alex and I have been living together for 7 years now, with a daughter going on 5. We seem to get along pretty well, and I have worked hard to keep up the house and the yard, to take care of our child, and to meet all of Alex's needs and keep him happy. And I can put up with a lot of things except for one. I want to be married. And I have done everything I can think of to serve this man and give him every part of me. But I feel like I've spent the last 7 years auditioning to be his wife. But every time the subject of marriage comes up, he's dead set against it. I have dreamed about being married ever since I was a little girl. So how long do I wait for something that may never come? Signed, Heartbroken in Idaho. Listen to me. You want to be married? You don't waste 1 second of your life living with somebody who doesn't want to be married. You can't get blood from a turnip. Right now, McDonald's is selling the PLT burger. Plant, lettuce, and tomato, meatless hamburger. Loaded up with coconut oil to try to hide the fact there ain't no hamburger in it. And you know what? That's just like living together. Looks good on the outside. Kind of looks like a marriage. But when you get into it, where's the beef? There's no there there. Girls, any guy who really loves you and cares about you and wants to protect you and provide for you will marry you. Boys shack up. Men get married and build homes. Ladies, what kind of guy do you want? Dedicate your body to God. But see, most people don't do that. And what's the result? One out of every four teenage girls in America today has a sexually transmitted disease. The national illegitimate birth rate today is over 50%. And half of all 25 to 40-year-olds in America have already lived with somebody. Buku people are hooked up, shacked up, and messed up because of it. So Christians, listen to me. Don't you dare be ashamed of dedicating your body to God and following His plan for relationships. Just like He did. Everybody and his brother today knows about Tim Tebow. Heisman Trophy winner, drafted into the NFL. And because he was a born-again Christian and tried to follow God's standards, Tim Tebow was absolutely barbecued. For talking about his faith in Jesus Christ, for Tebowing on the field to thank God after a good play, for not drinking and partying, for just about everything he did as a quarterback, I could go on and on and on. And after the New England Patriots released him back in 2013 and no other NFL team would take him, Tim Tebow signed a minor league contract with the New York Mets, trying to work his way up into Major League Baseball. But more than anything else, Tim Tebow was slammed for being a virgin, even though he was not ashamed of it, and he mentioned it many times during his interviews. Tim Tebow offered himself as a living sacrifice to God. And even though he did date several girls with the intention of finding a spouse, he will not have sex until he gets married. And the world had a cow about it, because they don't think it's possible. So they said, Tim Tebow is a fake. Tim Tebow is secretly gay. Hustler founder Larry Flint even offered $1 million for anybody who could prove that they slept with him. But Tim Tebow just kept staying faithful to God, just kept keep trusting the Lord, just kept giving his heart and his body to Christ. And then what do you know? Last year, at a Night to Shine event in South Africa for people with special needs, sponsored by the Tebow Foundation, Tim Tebow met 24-year-old, born-again Christian, and Miss Universe 2017, Demi Lee Nels Peters. And they started talking. And they started dating. And they prayed like crazy. And then last January the 1st, at the Tebow Tamley Farm, outside of Jacksonville, Florida, Tim Tebow, Tebowed, got down on one knee and proposed to her. And she said yes, and they got engaged. And now that his baseball season is over with, they are planning the wedding of their dreams. This is what Tim Tebow said. This is something that both of us have wanted and waited on God for our entire lives. Both of us knew we could only marry a Christian with a real commitment to Christ. And we both waited on God's best for us, for sex and for marriage. No matter what people may think, you do this God's way, He will fulfill all your dreams in ways you could never imagine. God's way works, and His best is more than worth waiting for. Amen. Christians, listen to me. I don't care how many people make fun of you because of your faith and the standards that you have. I don't care how long you've been waiting on God and His plan. I don't care how much they may make fun of you for being a virgin. God's plan for marriage and relationships and family works. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, he who trusts in the Lord will never, ever, ever be disappointed. People, look at that picture. That's why you wait. That's why you abstain. That's why we flee sexual immorality. That's why we wait on marriage for sex so that it can be the incredible blessing that God intended it to be. Look at that picture. Do you think Tim Tebow today honestly gives a rip about what people think of him saving himself for marriage? The first thing that we need to do in order to prepare for marriage, we need to dedicate our bodies. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to prepare for marriage. We not only need to dedicate our body, we also need to transform our minds. Verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing and the transforming comes from us being in and staying in the Word of God. So we not only need to get our body right, we also need to get our mind right. And why? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. We don't think what the world thinks, we won't do what the world does, and we will improve our marriages. Right there is the world's model for finding a partner. A hookup app called Tinder. So you can sleep with anything that comes along that you think is right swipe worthy. Forget about character and integrity and commitment to Christ. It's all about looks and being hot and flat stomachs and thigh gaps. It's nothing but a meat market. Hollywood today gives us the worst model that you can imagine. Next picture. Actress Jennifer Lawrence shacked up with Coldplay musician Chris Martin right after he divorced his wife, actress Gwyneth Paltrow. And now Jennifer Lawrence is shacked up with an art dealer named Cook Maroney. And Chris Martin is shacked up with another actress named Dakota Johnson who just got done hooking up with a guy from the movie 50 Shades of Grey. It's worse than a hamster cage, folks. Former NFL football player Antonio Brown has never been married, but he still has 5 different kids by 3 different women. 3 of them with longtime live-in Chelsea Chris, who also has 2 other kids with 2 other guys. And the last baby she had with Antonio Brown happened right after Antonio Brown cheated on her by making a baby with an Instagram model named Jenna Froome. Do you have your scorecards out keeping track of all this? Well, last January, Antonio Brown beat the snot out of Chelsea Chris. That's why he's not playing in the NFL today. But do you know what happened after they broke up? She went right back to him and moved in with him again. And you know why? Because he bought her a silver Porsche. God help us, people. Do we see what happens when we ignore God's plan for marriage and family and relationships and fly by the seat of our pants? It's Katie bar the door. Do we understand why we need to keep our minds transformed and renewed by the Word of God? We need to keep our minds transformed so that we can see through all the lies that the world tells us about marriage. And people believe all kinds of them. If you have a baby with a guy, that will make him want to marry you. Ask Khloe Kardashian, who had a baby with NBA player Tristan Thompson, and then he dumped her. They say our love won't pay the rent. Before it's earned, the money's all been spent. I guess that's so. We don't have a plot. But at least I'm sure of all the things we got. I got you, babe. Well, that's wonderful, but babe better have a J-O-B. Well, Kevin, we'll live on love. Okay? You get married, move into your house, Corn Belt Energy turns your electricity off. You call the guy and he says it's because you haven't paid your power bill. And you say, but my husband and I, we really love each other. And the guy says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. My bad, we'll forget about the bill altogether. Never gonna happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11, you've gotta work and pay your bills so you can afford to be married. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. No, men are from Earth and women are from Earth too. Which means both of them are sinners and the only person who can overcome a sinful nature in a marriage is Jesus Christ. You need Jesus at the center of your marriage, not George Jetson. Well, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. No, don't you ever, 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 ever settle for anything less than that one person that God specially prepared for you to marry. But there's people, listen to this sermon right now, you've settled already, haven't you? because you're afraid to be alone. And you don't think you deserve any better. And you're scared to death that you're never going to be able to find anybody else. So you settled. And it's not good. Listen to me. You can't be married to somebody that you don't trust. You can't be married to somebody who's addicted to porn and is not fighting it. Because porn is adultery. And married sex will never, ever, ever cure a spouse's porn problem. You can't be married to somebody who's afraid of you. You're afraid of. You can't be married to somebody who hits you. You say, Kevin, well, all guys do that. No, bad guys with no character who have no business at all being married, they're the ones who do that. The truth, God's Word says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you're supposed to be loved and cherished and not pounded on like a punching bag. And the more you put up with it, you're sending the signal that you deserve that, and you don't. So if you don't want that, don't tolerate that. Don't live with it, don't date it, and don't marry that, whatever you do. And after you break up and the guy wants to come back to you, you tell him no, because he's not just your ex, he's also your why. As in, why in the world did you ever get involved with him to start with? Transform your mind. To keep our minds transformed and renewed, Christians do not marry unbelievers or even date them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because they will pull you away from Jesus Christ. Why do you think God gives us the warning? Amen. The number one thing you look for in a partner is Jesus. You don't see Jesus, you move on and you keep looking. So stop laying with Bay and start praying with Bay. And if Bay won't pray, then Bay can't stay. Guard your heart and do not let yourself fall for people who are not Christians. Love them, care about them, pray for them, but don't date them and don't marry them. Folks, do you realize how dangerous it is to be tied to somebody who does not believe that they're accountable to God? Well, I can lead that person to Christ. Yeah, where's your guarantee that's ever going to happen? You can't date people into the kingdom. You are a child of God. You marry a child of the devil, I guarantee you, you're going to have buku, never-ending problems with your father-in-law. Christians, we've got to be constantly, constantly, constantly transforming and renewing our minds by being into the Word of God for the sake of our marriages and for the sake of our witness. And what happens if we don't do that? Joshua Harris was born in Dayton, Ohio in 1974. And his parents were some of the first pioneers of the Christian homeschool movement in this country. Growing up, his two brothers led a nationwide youth ministry called Revolution. And in 1997, Joshua Harris looked at all the carnage that the sexual revolution dating culture had caused his generation. And he came out with a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. His interpretation of a biblical approach to sex and dating and marriage and relationships, all based on purity and courtship and getting the parents involved on the decision to get married and saving your very first kiss for your wedding day. And even though a lot of Christians still think that book is way too legalistic, Joshua Harris did shape the way an entire generation thinks about dating and relationships. And they treated him like a rock star. Packed out conferences and churches all over the world. Christian teenage girls had Joshua Harris pictures on their bedroom wall. They weren't supposed to dream about boys, so they dreamed about him. 1998, Joshua Harris married his wife Shannon. They eventually had three kids together. He started a nationwide Christian singles ministry 2004 to 2015 without any theological education whatsoever. He pastored a megachurch in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Then in 2015, he moved his family to Vancouver, British Columbia in order to start seminary. And then the wheels started coming off. 2016, Joshua Harris said that he recanted everything he wrote in that book. Then 2018, he took steps to make sure that book could never be printed or published again. Then just last July, he absolutely rocked the evangelical world by announcing that he was divorcing his wife. And then later that month, he rocked the body of Christ even worse by saying he wasn't even a Christian anymore. This is what he tweeted out. In recent years, some significant changes have taken place in both me and my wife, and I am writing to share the news that we are separating. Also, I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus, and by all measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am no longer a Christian. And I want to add this to the LGBT community. I want to say that I am sorry for the views I taught in my books and as a pastor regarding sexuality. I regret standing against marriage equality and for any way that I have contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry toward the LGBT community. He caved. And why? Well, funny thing, last August the 4th, Joshua Harris sent out this picture, a selfie that he took with former Christian rocker turned gay activist Trey Pearson, marching together in the Gay Pride Parade in Toronto, Canada. Holy cow, folks, the guy who's an expert on Christian relationships couldn't even keep his own relationship together. The guy who kissed dating goodbye kissed marriage goodbye too, and then kissed Christianity goodbye to boot. Talk about giving the kingdom of God a black eye. And why? Because he did not keep his mind transformed and renewed through the Word of God. And Christians, let me ask you, how much damage could we do to the kingdom of God, to the cause of Christ, all the people that we love, if we don't keep our head on straight and keep transforming our minds by the Word of God and cave and bail just like Joshua Harris did? Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, do not let anybody take you captive by hollow and deceptive philosophies. Let he who stands take heed, lest he fall. The second thing that we need to do in order to prepare for marriage, we need to transform our minds. Third thing in this text, a third thing we need to do to prepare for marriage. We not only need to dedicate our body, we not only need to transform our mind, but third, we need to follow God's will. Verse 2, then we will know what is God's good and pleasing and perfect will. When we dedicate our body, transform our minds to have the mind of Christ, then we will know whether or not we're supposed to get married and who we're supposed to get married to. And Christians, once we know God's will, we need to do it. We need to follow it. But see, too many Christians today aren't doing that. Lifeway tells us 70% of all millennial Christians see absolutely nothing wrong with sex outside of marriage. 75% of Christian couples today get married having lived together before their wedding day. Less than 5% of Christians are virgins when they get married. I talk to Christian couples in premarital counseling sessions in my office, and I ask them, are you sexually active? And they look at me like I got a third eye. Of course they are. But see, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. His word's not mine. Which means wrong sex has to be stopped and repented of, or you're not going to be saved. And if you don't want to stop, you're not willing to try, you've got to question whether or not you're really a Christian to start with. But Kevin, we're going to get married anyway. Does 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 say wrong sex is okay if you think you're going to get married? Does your Bible say that? Because my Bible doesn't say that. And here's why it matters. If you can't be faithful to God's plan for sex before you get married, how are you going to stay faithful to God's plan for sex after you're married? But see, Christians don't know this today because lily-livered pastors are too scared to preach about sexual morality because they're afraid the seekers are going to get offended and leave the church and it's going to hurt their attendance numbers. Amen. I talk to Christian couples all the time, not even from this church, who are living together, and I tell them, you've got to separate. If you want to honor God, if you have any sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, they say, well, Pastor, we just won't have sex then. Or we'll just sleep in separate bedrooms in the house. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. But Kevin, everybody else is doing it. But you're not everybody else. You are a born-again, spirit-filled child of the living God, called to shine like stars in a wicked and a perverse generation. And by every single thing you do to show the world the difference that Jesus Christ makes, we're supposed to be different from the world, Christians. Pigs wallow in mud, not sheep. But see, just like Jesus Christ, we offer grace. And here at this church, we always give people the opportunity to do the right thing. I will not marry a couple that is living together, because I will not pronounce a blessing on something that God obviously is not blessing. But if that couple is willing to follow God's will, do the right thing, separate, and actually live in two separate locations, we will do the premarital counseling, and then I will do that wedding. I've done all kinds of weddings like that in 26 years here at Fox River. You always give people the opportunity to do the right thing. There's women listening to this sermon right now, maybe right here in this room. You're living with a guy, and you know it's not right, but you don't know how to fix it. Listen, don't you think if you pray that Jesus will help you and people from this church will help you by finding you a place to live, you and your kids, until your boyfriend makes a decision whether or not he's going to marry you or lose you? People in this church have done it before. They will do it again. But you have to be the one to make that decision to follow God's will. Well, Kevin, moving out won't be easy. Nothing right is ever easy. There's people listening to this sermon right now. Following God's will may mean that you don't get married, or that you have to stay single, or at least for a while. Great, Kevin. All my friends are married and working on their second baby already. How does that make me feel? Kevin, I'm tired of being in other people's weddings. I want to be in my own. Kevin, I am so lonely. When Jake from State Farm called the other day, I kept him on the line for 2 hours. But listen to me, don't you dare think that your life is on hold because you're not married. Because God doesn't see it that way. God has not pushed the pause button on your life until your wedding day. Marriage may be one of the plans that God has for your life, but it's not the only plan that God has for your life. And you are living all the rest of your life right now, every single day. So don't think, God, I am ticked because you forgot to give me a husband when I wanted one. So I'm just going to sit here and wait until you correct that. No. God's not just preparing you for marriage right now. He's preparing you for the rest of your life. And right now, He is giving you an opportunity to do all kinds of things that you are never going to be able to do once you get married and start having kids. Like sleeping in. And actually holding the TV remote in your own hand. And saving money for a house. And finishing your degree. And building all kinds of networks with friends all over the country. And more importantly, being closer to Jesus than you have ever been before. So for crying out loud, quit sitting around crying in your beer, waiting for a guy to give you a rose, and get on with your life. Follow God's will. And how do you find that person God wants you to marry? Now, a lot of Christians think that you can marry any number of people and still be in God's will. I don't believe that. A God who is so specific, He knows how many hairs are on your head at any given time, that God has one specific person that He especially prepared to be married to you. A lot of people use dating apps or dating sites, which is fine. But listen, if you're going to date, you've got to do it intentionally, which means you do it with the intention of finding a spouse. So no Starbucks dates just because you want a free molten chocolate latte. If you're not ready to get married, dating is nothing but a huge distraction, and you're going to end up starring in your own soap opera. The best way to find that person that God wants you to marry is to have Jesus tell you who it is. Right after college, I fell for a girl from high school who was already divorced and had a baby. And I went out with her one date, and after that, she avoided me like the Ebola virus. And I didn't harass her, just a couple of phone calls, couple of notes, absolutely no response whatsoever, dead on arrival. And finally, one of my friends from our jail ministry asked me, he said, Kevin, are you dating anybody? I said, I'm trying. And he said, is she a Christian? And I said, no. And he said, well, you're wasting your time then, because she's obviously not for you. So I prayed and I said, okay, God, I've had it. Forget about what I want. I want the woman that you want me to have. People, exactly 1 week later, I was driving by Sue's parents' place. She happened to be there Sunday afternoon on a riding lawnmower, mowing the grass for him. God spoke to me and said, that is the woman you're going to marry. Now, it took 5 more years to convince Sue of that, but it turned out to be true. People, Jesus Christ is the best wingman that anybody could ever have. You want to know who the person is you're supposed to marry one way or another, some way, somehow, Jesus will tell you. And will that person be perfect? No. But they will be perfect for you. And just like this verse says, God will test and confirm over and over and over again that it's the right thing. My wife Sue is honest as the day is long, has never lied and will never lie about anything to anybody. And she doesn't tolerate lying in anybody else either. That's why God made her a Christian counselor with the gift of discernment. I don't need a lie detector because I'm married to one. Me, I don't lie either. Because there's no way in the world God would ever bless anything you do in ministry as a pastor of a church if you didn't tell the truth. But I've been in enough confrontations and enough council meetings and counseling sessions to know you can tell the truth without telling everything you know. Sue, exactly the opposite. Last May, we walked into a Golden Corral restaurant, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We walked in, the cashier looked at us and asked me, senior citizen? And I don't know what the senior citizen age is at Golden Corral, probably 25. But I said, yeah, because I thought she was talking about Sue, and Sue is a little bit older than I am. I told the truth. But when we got the ticket, we noticed that the guy, he'd rung up both of us as senior citizens. And Sue's trying to tell the guy, well, my husband really isn't a senior citizen. And I'm saying, Sue, shut up. We saved $5. You don't have to tell everything you know. She is honest to a fault. For years and years, we'd travel all over the country with our little dog, Rocky. Because Rocky really was a therapy dog certified with Therapy Dogs International. Now, a lot of hotels will let service dogs stay for free. Service dogs, not therapy dogs. Otherwise, they'll charge you $100 a night for a pet. Well, one time we went to a Hampton Inn, Fredericksburg, Maryland, and the gal behind the desk started asking me, well, if he's a service dog, what does he do? I said, well, he helps my wife with counseling. I told the truth without telling everything I know. But she kept getting more and more suspicious. She said, but service, what does he actually do? I said, well, right now he ain't doing anything because he's on vacation. I told the truth. But Sue, honest to a fault, told the lady he is not a service dog. He is a therapy dog. He has been trained to go into hospitals, nursing homes, disaster areas, and help me with counseling. She told the truth. And God honored that because what do you know? She never charged us anything. Saved me $100. Last April, Sue and I were flying down the road because we had to meet somebody at a house in Marion, Indiana. 11 o'clock their time, 10 o'clock our time. About 40 miles away, Sue's driving, doing about 75 and a 55, and all of a sudden, we get lit up by a county mountie. Cop walks up to the car and says, what's the hurry? And I said, well, we have to meet somebody at a house in Marion at 11 a.m. And then to try to distract him and take his mind off of giving us a ticket, I said, you guys are an hour ahead here. Is it 9:15 or 10:15? But right at that moment when he was deciding whether or not to give us a ticket, honest Abe Sue had to speak up and say, no, that's not it. We got plenty of time. Sue, do you want a speeding ticket? Do you want to pay $150 and have this on your record? You're killing me. You don't have to tell everything you know. But you know what? That exact moment when she was dead honest with him, you know what that cop said? Okay, you folks be safe and have a nice day. He didn't fine us. He didn't write us up. My wife is as honest as the day is long. And God has honored that over and over and over and over again. And folks, do you have any idea what an incredible blessing it is to have a spouse that you know will never lie and will never lie to you? Do you know how many married couples we deal with in counseling sessions right back there in that office who have no trust in each other, constantly checking the phone, checking the miles on the car, driving past the place of work to see if they're really there. Sue and I don't do that. God has confirmed over and over and over again that this is His good and pleasing and perfect will. Not only because God knew this is the woman I wanted, but also because God knew this is the woman that I needed to hold me accountable and to keep me close to Jesus too. Preparation precedes blessing. Good marriages don't just happen. They don't just fall out of the sky or fall down the chimney. Good marriages aren't things that you hope for or wish for. Good marriages are things you have to prepare for. Not just by all the things you do then after you're married, but especially by all the things you do now even before you're married. Because everything you do now lays the foundation and sets the pattern for everything you do then. Everything. All the porn that you don't look at. All the hookups that you say no to. All the opportunities to shack up that you shy away from. All the anger issues and the control issues that you deal with and put away by the power of the Holy Spirit. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the deeper you get into His Word. Your marriage starts then. But your preparation for marriage has already started now. By every choice you make, every single thing you do as single people right now, preparation precedes blessing. The best time to improve your marriage is before your marriage even starts. So single people, let me ask you, what are you doing now to get ready for then? Dedicate your body, transform your mind, and follow God's will. And your spouse will thank you, and your kids will want to be just like you, and more important than anything else, Jesus will be glorified in you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray especially today for single people hearing this message in this church. And I know, Lord, that many, many are frustrated just waiting for something, waiting for you to do something. Lord, your promises are true. And Lord, I honestly believe if you've given them a desire for marriage, you will give them a partner, or you will take that desire away, and they will be content in Christ. I just ask, Lord, that they would be patient, they continue to be faithful, do the right things, knowing they come right from your word. And I pray that every one of us who are married, Lord, we would be their cheerleaders. We would be their chorus, helping them and keeping them encouraged. Lord, in staying faithful to you. And I pray for our own marriages, Lord, as we go through this series, that they'd be strengthened. You'd shine a spotlight on us married people. Show us the corrections that need to be made. And just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.